Let's have all the little ones come on up. How are y'all doing? Ready for Christmas tomorrow? What'd you ask for? Nothing? You don't know? You didn't ask for anything? You did? You did too?
Yeah.
You did? Think you're going to get it? I don't know. I didn't ask for anything. I forgot to ask for stuff this year. Oh, man. Never know. Hey, how are you, sweet girl? All right, so tonight we're going to talk about Hebrews. Anybody ever heard of the book Hebrews? You know, your parents read that to you a lot, do they? Probably not. You know why they don't read? It's hard to understand. It's a very difficult book. So sometimes I used to read it, and then I was like, I don't understand what this book's talking about at all. This is very, very confusing. So in the opening chapter of Hebrews, he's going to talk about Jesus, and he's going to compare Jesus to angels. How many of you have seen an angel? What about on the top of your tree? You've seen an angel? Yeah. Have you seen one on your tree? Do you have a Christmas tree? Do you have an angel? Who's got an angel and who's got a star? Okay. I've got a star on mine, but we've got angels towards the top. You got a bow, okay. Well, Jesus is better than a bow, and he's not quite like a star, but he holds stars together. But this, the author's going to say he's stronger than angels. And the Jewish people thought, well, angels are really cool and really powerful, and they'd seen a lot of angels, and they'd heard of God before, but they were surprised that Jesus, when he came to earth, was not just a man. They thought he was going to be a man like Moses. How many have heard of Moses? You've all heard of Moses, and he parted the Red Sea. All these miracles happened the Lord did through Moses, and they thought that somebody like Moses, that's what we read in the first passage, was going to come, and this person like Moses was going to do all these cool things, and that's what they were looking for. But the author of Hebrews says, well, when he went to heaven, he became super powerful because he was God, and he was more than an angel, and he was even more powerful than an angel, and that's pretty cool. And he's more powerful than an angel because he's the Son of God, and he is God. And that's what we're looking for. He's seated at the right hand of the God. He doesn't sit at the left because he doesn't like the left. He likes the right. Who's right-handed? Do you think that's why he sits there? Is he right-handed? I'm not sure. But he sits at the right hand of God, right? And he's waiting until he comes again. He still works with us. But that's where he sits, and that's what the author of Hebrews talks about. What it really means is when you sit at the right hand of somebody in the olden days, it meant you were in the seat of honor. You were in the seat of honor. That's like where you got rewarded and you sat there. It means God the Father put him in the seat of honor. And that's where he is. He's still doing stuff for us. He's still helping us, but he's in the seat of honor. And then when he comes again, he's going to come in super strong power. And that's really what we're going to learn about today, okay? Who is Jesus, and why did he come to earth as a little bitty baby, but then he left super strong, right? All right, go back to your seats. Thank you, sir. All right, let's open in prayer. Now that the sermon's done, we'll just close in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this most blessed of nights as we learn about your son and why he came to earth. Obviously, we all know on December 25th. And Lord, we ask that you would just bless this sermon, that you would close our ears to any air that I may speak and open our hearts and minds to what the meaning of the incarnation is and what it means for us and so how we can apply it into our lives, but also, Lord, how we can teach it to others, which is just really important, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many think that Jesus was actually born on December 25th? I've got people, okay, good, Garland. I've got people online who are like, we can't celebrate
because Jesus was really born on May 3rd or on October 14th, and that's when I get a really big headache, right? You get a headache too. We all get a headache. That's not what the church calendar was made for. It was actually centered around Easter, and we go back and forth, and we're just doing certain seasons, and this is the season where we remember the incarnation, just like Jesus is not going to come back on Advent 1. So just in case you were thinking that. So the author of Hebrews in our passage tonight writes a pretty complex letter. How many of you have read Hebrews? All right, some. Who's never read Hebrews? Brave enough to say it? Well, Vivian, good job. All right. If you've read Hebrews or you've read Romans, those are the two kind of magnum opuses or opi. I don't know what the plural of opus is. But those are the two major super strong letters in the New Testament. They're really deep. But you don't really understand Hebrews unless you really understand the Old Testament, because the author's building on the Old Testament. There's a lot of debate on who the author is. Was it Paul writing in Hebrew and it was translated to Greek? Was it Barnabas? Was it Apollos? We're not sure. And everyone's got their theory. I'm not really concerned about that theory right now. What I am concerned about is this author writes a really, really deep letter. So when he was writing the letter, he's writing to a Hebrew congregation. And what he's doing, for our purposes, just at the very beginning, because I'm not going to go all the way through Hebrews, is he's writing and explaining Jesus in a deeper way. So if you want to learn about Jesus in a deeper way, read Romans and read Hebrews. And he's explaining to them how the Old Testament points forward to the coming Messiah. So that's basically what he's doing here. So, Hebrews 1:2. That's why he starts out long ago, just like in Star Wars, right? Long ago. At many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Right? And it's this through whom, the Son, through whom, that statement, that is shocking the Jews. Might not have been as shocking to the Greeks, but it was astonishing to the Jews. And that's why when he opens that passage, he's going to have to spend the rest of his time explaining this to them. It's blowing the mind of them. The thing was, this Messiah was expected to be a mighty prophet. That's what they thought, right? And why did they think that? Well, in our passage this morning in Deuteronomy, I want you to pay attention to this passage. Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 19. The Lord, and when you see Lord in all caps, that's Yahweh, or in Old English, Jehovah. The Lord your God, that's his covenant name, Yahweh or Jehovah, will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from among your brothers. And it is to him you shall listen. So this is Moses speaking. There's going to be a prophet that is like me, and it's to him you shall listen. What was Moses like? Pretty impressive, right? That prophet, the prophet Moses, did some incredible things. And he's saying here that God will one day raise up someone like me. When you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. And this is why we read in the Gospel of John, John 1:45, Philip found Nathanael. Right at the very beginning, he's saying, come and see. All these guys are saying, come and see, which is basic evangelism, right? If you don't know what to say, just say, come and see. It's like basic evangelism. Invite them to church. Invite them to a Bible study. Come and see. I'm not really sure how to say this thing. Just got to invite you. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses said, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. This is who Moses said, a prophet like me. So when he says a prophet like me, the people of Israel were expecting what? A man. And so when Jesus comes on the earth, they're going to constantly ask him, are you the prophet? Are you Elijah come again? Are you someone else? And that's what they're expecting, this man. So when the Apostle Peter preaches a sermon in Acts after a miraculous healing, he says in 3:17 to 26 of Acts, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Christ appointed for you." This is Peter speaking, by the way. "Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers.'" And this is what the apostles are saying when they're preaching to the Jews. This was an important statement. "You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people." If you don't listen to what Jesus says, the consequences are not pleasant at the end of time. And so all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. So that's what all the prophets are pointing to. "You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' And God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." So the offspring word there, by the way, in the Old Testament is zerah. It's the Hebrew word zerah, which is a unique Hebrew word because it can be singular or plural. Offspring or offsprings, right? Seed or seeds. And it's a major theme throughout the Pentateuch. It's a major theme in Genesis, right? Oftentimes you won't get it, but if you read the NIV, the NIV authors, they like to translate the same word multiple ways. They just have fun with it. Some translators are like that. And for that reason, you'll sometimes miss that. If you're in the ESV or the NASB, they like to stick with that. But Zerah is a very big theme. And he says, "Your offspring," and then in Ephesians, he picks up on, or sorry, Galatians 3, sorry, he picks up on that and says, "Your offspring," which is Jesus, and in him, the families of the earth will be blessed. So the author of Hebrews has a chore ahead of him, and he opens in our passage tonight by showing us that this child born to us is much more than simply a human. And we saw that when his mission on earth was complete, Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And this means that Jesus is what the Father is. He's the exact imprint of his nature. Now, he's not the Father. He's the exact imprint of his Father. Whatever God's stuff is, that's what Jesus is. That's clumsy language, but I don't have better language because I don't know what God's stuff is, right? So you're just going to have to adjust to my clumsy language. All that is in the universe, he says, is upheld by the Son. In other words, each member of the Trinity has a role to play. But the role of Jesus, his part, in part, not all of it, but part of what Jesus does, is he holds everything together. So look around you. Everything that is held together by who? Jesus. Now, that's pretty significant power. Everything, not just here, but throughout the universe. That's a lot. That's significant. That's solar systems and galaxies, stars. That's a lot. So in Advent, we celebrated that he is the, oh, we don't have it anymore because we're in Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. But here in Hebrews, the author tells us that whatever that means that it is because Jesus upholds all by his word, and he sits at the right hand of the Father after he completed his mission on the earth. And the image we're getting here in Hebrews is a much grander vision of Jesus than the one we get in the opening of the Gospels. So in the opening of the Gospels, there is joy at the fulfillment of the prophecy. So you think about it. Matthew and Luke and Mark, they open in different ways. Some with the telling of the birth narrative, Matthew and Luke. And then Mark just has Jesus bursting on the scene, but they have all these prophecies there. But then John, he tells us a little bit about who Jesus is, connecting us to some philosophy and connecting us to Genesis and telling us that Jesus is the light. But here in Hebrews, there's a very different start. You see, what the author of Hebrews is doing is he's taking us into the celestials, into heaven, into whatever place God lives, and he's showing us that God is much more powerful. We're seeing the majesty of Jesus. Majestic. See, a lot of times we see Jesus, right, as he is here, right? We think of Jesus as this. You've been to churches around the world, right? You see Jesus in a manger. There's images all over the world of Jesus as this. He's helpless. He's cute. He's adorable. He's cuddly. He's a warm fuzzy. Who wouldn't love this Jesus? And Jesus did come on Christmas morning as this, but he didn't stay as this, and he certainly didn't die like this. And when he died and then ascended, he isn't in this form. And so what Hebrews is helping everyone understand is that Jesus is all grown up now from a human, but he's also transformed. So whatever happened in Philippians where he empties himself, something has transformed when he goes back. And that's what the author of Hebrews is showing us. Hebrews 1:5. For which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, and today I've begotten you, or today again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. What he's saying here is Jesus is much more than an angel. He's much more than a normal human being. He is much more powerful. We're exposed to the power. Angels are mighty, and every reader knows this, but this might pales in comparison to Jesus. And the author here has a point to teach us. Jesus isn't a prophet. He isn't Moses. As mighty as Moses was or Joshua was, their power came from God, and Jesus isn't them. And as powerful as the angel was, because remember what happens with Moses is there's an angel that leads them every step of the way, right? Flame at night, smoke by day, and they see this mighty angel, but that's not Jesus. Jesus is mightier than the angel. This would be shocking to the audience. The shepherds in the field heard the announcement of the angel, so they knew that Jesus was something special. The Magi saw the star and knew that a special event had happened, and several angelic visits occurred announcing Jesus' birth. When Jesus visits the temple, there's prophets who prophesy about what Jesus is going to be. But here the author of Hebrews gives us the glimpse into the heavenlies, and there's something much more majestic. So in Philippians, what do we read? 2:7, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. So whatever it meant when he became incarnate, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit were all part of that, right? So to become incarnate, to go in the virgin's womb, to go in Mary's womb, Jesus also took part in that. It wasn't just the Father and the Holy Spirit, but he empties himself of his deity in some level. He's still God, but there's some emptying that takes place, and he becomes human. He transforms while he's here, and he gives up all of that to become one of us. He becomes vulnerable. He lives as one of us. He struggles as one of us. And that's important to know. He understands us. What kind of God of the universe would do that? He went from infinite power to us. You control suns and solar systems to us. I can't make my TV change with my brain. Us.
Hebrews takes us back. Here, he is filled up again. He is no longer empty, but full. Here we see the God that is not empty, but filled up and mighty, who has completed his task on earth, which was started in the womb of a virgin, finished with his ascension and seating at the right hand of the Father, and now awaits the next step, which we just studied in Advent, the end of days. Hebrews 1:13, and to which of your angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Is that a cuddly little baby? We miss those passages. A footstool for your feet. Where sin and death are crying no more, his enemies, sin, death, evil, conquered no more because of what he accomplished. This is where our Savior is now, and it all began long ago when Jesus emptied himself and took human form. And this is what we are called to ponder this season of the Incarnation. Merry Christmas.